Today on Vox Talks Economics, how seniors respond to changes in their income and their health. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Instagram as well. We're living longer, and so studying the consequences of changes to our income and our health after we stop working is becoming more important. For policymakers too, they might also want to know if the impact of these changes is the same as it is for working age people. Jean Comont of Sciences Po is one of the authors of a new paper on how income and health shocks affect consumption for American seniors, and she joins me now. Jean, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Hi, thank you very much for having me here.
Economists, they have researched quite a bit what happens to consumption for a household when there is a sudden change to income, someone loses a job, or prices suddenly go up. What do we know from this research?
Yes, I think we know a lot, and there's been a lot of work on this over the past decades. People typically distinguish between two types of shocks. Some shocks that are transitory, so one-time shocks that suddenly your income, you receive some inheritance, so you win the lottery, you've got some one-time change in income. And there's a permanent thing, so like price changes can be either a bit permanent or transitory, job losses as well, but usually we try to like have some clean one that is either very transitory or something that we kind of know to be more permanent. On the transitory one, a big shift over the past two decades, maybe, is that we initially thought that, a transitory shock, people should not respond too much to it because it's a one-time thing. If you smooth it over the whole of your remaining lifetime, you should not increase your consumption by too much. However, what we find when people started relying on natural experiments, so looking at actually what happens if people win the lottery, people receive a tax rebate, there's been growing evidence that people do respond in the consumption does respond even to those transitory shock in a statistically significant way, with some range as to how much, but mostly people do respond. On the permanent side of things, things are a bit more muddy because there's not as much natural experiment of permanent shocks. There's a paper by Gelman, Goronichenko, Karif, Kustas, Shapiro, Silverman, and Tedelis showing that the response to gas prices is almost like consumption, response almost one-to-one. Housing wells, also some response to that. So there's a bit, then you can go into like very specific types of shocks and find some responses. But consumption does seem to respond to those types of shocks.
And every paper I remember seeing on this is about working age households. Why is it always working age households?
Yeah, I think the main idea was that maybe when you're older, after age 65, you don't really face income shocks anymore. And maybe most of the health shocks that you are going to face are permanent. Like you've got some like permanent decline in your health. First results of the paper are actually to document that that is not exactly the case. And even after age 65, people are still subject to quite a lot of income shocks, in particular transitory ones, coming from inheritances, coming from fluctuations in their pension income, which are indexed on the stock market for some of it, for some like other random shocks that happens, so they still do face quite a lot of income uncertainty, at least some fraction of those people. And also that part of the health shocks that they face are not just permanent, but transitory. You can like break your leg and be incapacitated for a few years, but then you come back to normal health even after age 65. So I think because people didn't know really about those shocks, they focused mostly on working age people for whom it was more obvious that they were facing these type of shocks.
And now we know about these shocks. Is that why you think it's important to learn about the effects of these income and health shocks in old age?
Exactly. And in particular, I think one reason why people have focused on the response of consumption to shocks so much is that this is some indication of the extent to which people are well insured or not. Like if you respond a lot to a shock, you suddenly gain some income and you consume all of it, this suggests that you were very constrained. Before the shock, you were really consuming everything you had. And so if you respond a lot, you can usually, under some assumptions, interpret the response of consumption to some shocks as evidence of lack or presence of insurance.
In October 2019, David Bloom spoke to us about what he calls the what, the so what, and the now what of aging, and the policy choices our societies will have to make in the near future. Listen to our episode called The Economics of an Aging Population.
So, Jian, what kind of shocks are you investigating in this paper? What sort of consumption are you investigating as well, I guess?
We decided to focus on transitory income and health shock because these are the ones that are easier to interpret in terms of insurance because they're one-time thing. So it's easier to say something about the extent of insurance that they face. And in terms of consumption, we look at non-durable consumption. Also, it includes food, utilities, car-related expenses, gas, car maintenance, also equipment for some small furniture, some gardening things, some leisure. You go to the cinema, to all those tickets to go out. We include all of that. And we also have some results for medical expenses, but we focus on out-of-pocket medical expenses because that's the margin that on which people decide more than the total medical expenses.
So where did you get the data to do all of this? And why did you focus on the US? Is it something to do with how people pay for their medical expenses?
So what we use is the University of Michigan Health and Retirement Study, so the HRS, which is a longitudinal panel study. And we combine it with another survey that is sent to a subset of those HRS respondents, asking them about their consumption and their activities, what they do on an everyday basis. And this makes it possible for us to have this sort of golden trio of income, consumption, and health data, which is really good to have the three together for the questions that we are interested in, plus some also information about their wills, whether they own some houses, things like that. So this data is good for our purpose. That's the main reason. Then in the US, there's also quite a lot of study existing on the US, in particular on this transitory shocks response. So it's also an interesting population to study to compare to existing literature.
You said before that we didn't really think in detail about many of these shocks in old age previously. Now we're thinking about it. Now we're measuring this more carefully. Are these types of shocks common in old age? How common are they?
Yeah, so they can quantify the importance in particular of the transitory versus permanent. And what we find is that these transitory shocks actually explain quite a lot of the variance of log income growth in the population. People will have different extent to which their log income varies from a period to another. And the variance of this in the population, more than 80% of this, we find would be driven by the transitory component of the shocks that people receive. This is netting out any variation in log income that is driven by demographics, by your age. So we net that out. And what remains, what is not explained by your demographics, 80% of this is explained by transitory rather than permanent shocks. And also it's a bit smaller than for working age people, but not zero. So people do face variance in their income growth, and most of it is driven by transitory shock. For the health, about a bit less than two-thirds of the variance of health growth in the population is driven by transitory shocks from which people recover. So the health goes down, but then it recovers, versus just permanent health shocks.
So looking at the results then, for income shocks, what do you find is the effect on consumption? And I see that you model separately the effect on health expenses.
Yes. So what we find is that having first established that, people do face all those transitory shocks, the question is, do they respond to it or how do they respond to it? And we do find that consumption responds significantly to both types of shock, both transitory income shock and transitory health shocks. So regarding the transitory income shock, if, for instance, you experience transitory income shocks that raises your current income by 10%, then we find that on average in the population, for some typical person, the consumption is going to increase by 1.3%. When we split the sample between people with low wealth, the bottom quintile of the wealth distribution, those respond more, suggestive that they are more constrained than the others. So their elasticity is about twice as large as the average one in the population. But interestingly, we still find that people in the top four quintile of the wealth distribution still respond in a statistically significant way. For the health, in terms of magnitude, we build some sort of average health index based on self-reported 1 to 5, how would you rate your health from poor to excellent. If you're about decrease in your health that would be equivalent to all of a sudden it's become difficult for you to carry 10 pounds. This type of shock would be equivalent, would cause a decrease in your consumption by 1.7%. Statistically significant as well, a bit larger again for people with lower levels of wealth.
And for these people having health shocks, are they spending more on their health as a result?
Great point. So yeah, I didn't answer the part on medical expenses. So for income, we find no effect of income shocks on your out-of-pocket medical spending. Mm-hmm. For health shock, we do find a large and significant effect of your health decreases, your medical out-of-pocket medical spending increases in a statistically significant way.
What's the explanation for this? Is this because when someone has a health problem in the United States, are they needing to spend more on healthcare to make sure that they get well again, or is it something else?
Yes, so that's a great question, and that's one of the questions of the paper. So we do find response to both health shock and income shock. We find that health shock does increase medical expenses. So the question is your consumption responding to the health shock because you have to pay some medical bills and therefore you cannot consume as much? Or is it that maybe suddenly you broke your leg, so you're going to cancel those vacations? And it's more a story of a complementarity between your health status and your consumption, your enjoyment of consumption. And for that, we go a bit more structural. So we build a structural model to try to identify more structurally where is the response of consumption coming from. And we find that it's mostly the second thing, so the complementarity between consumption and health.
Right.
Because also we find that, you know, consumption respond to a health shock. Already the pattern is a bit different than the pattern of response to an income shock. So if we break down into different consumption categories, for instance, it's mostly like to health shock, what responds most is expenses on leisure, on equipment, going to the gym, these type of things. They respond a lot to a health shock. Well, they respond a bit, but not exceptionally to an income shock. And so what we find in with the structural decomposition is consistent with that. And about 80 to 90% of the response to a health shock would be explained by this decomposition. Also, the resource effect, so like medical bill effect, is a bit larger for the lower wealth. Them's a really some resource effect.
I see. So if you have lower wealth, then yes, you're probably going to have to dig in and spend more on getting well. So that's going to affect your consumption a little bit more. But this is quite surprising to me that this response that we're getting from a temporary health shock, that consumption response to it, is that there are less things to consume available to you. You get less pleasure from it. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that would be especially true because we're considering transitory health shock. At some point, you are going to recover from it. So maybe you can just postpone the vacation. Mm-hmm. But if it was permanent, maybe you would find another way to spend all this money you have, not on vacation, but on something else. If it's just a transitory health shock, maybe you're going to just postpone it.
Jean, so this is very interesting. As we mentioned before, this is US data. Would you expect to see similar impacts of health and income shocks in Europe or in the UK?
So for the income shock, the fact that we find that even in old age, people still respond to some income shock possibly would be similar, because we find that for working age people, the responses are quite similar. At least like studies from Norway, for instance, on lottery, are somehow consistent with results from response to tax rebates in the US. So there's some consistency for income shocks. For health shock, I don't know. What our results suggest is that the response to health shock is driven mostly possibly by this preference effect, which could be the same if consumption habits are the same in Europe and in the UK. Maybe this could be the same. And the response is not driven so much by the like state of the health system, or maybe it is. Maybe what we're saying is that people for the bigger medical expenses items are still covered in the US. We expect them to be covered as well in Europe and the UK. So this doesn't seem to play such a big role in the response. So maybe we could expect a similar pattern in the UK and Europe.
All of these are fairly wealthy economies, and we know that these economies will have in the future a much higher proportion of older people, retired people. Is there anything that policymakers should do to respond to what you found out, or anything that they can do?
So we really like putting those results on the table. And then I guess what the policymaker want to do depends a bit on the like welfare utility function, what the policymaker is trying to maximize. Mm. And what we're saying is that, for instance, maybe people in terms of like medical expenses after age 65 is already kind of okay. But because we're also seeing this complementarity between consumption and health, this means that people in bad health are less able to enjoy consumption. So one first thing is that, oh, maybe let's not give too much money to people who cannot enjoy vacation, give them afterwards when they're better off. But also, if you care about just the level of utility, somebody who is sick, in addition, cannot enjoy vacation. So also, maybe it's not like efficient to give a lot of consumption to this person. It's also like, if what you care is not efficiency, but inequality in terms of utility or just a distribution, you want to put a lot of weight on people with very low levels of utility, then maybe you want to give a lot of consumption to the person who is bedridden and yes, unable to enjoy consumption as much as other people, but also starts from a very low level of utility. So it depends a bit on what you want to, how the policymakers are thinking about this problem.
It's a problem that policymakers are going to be thinking a lot more about in the future. So we'll be seeing a lot more of this type of research. But for now, Jeanne, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Paper's called Old Age Risks, Consumption and Insurance, and the authors are Richard Blundell, Margarita Borella, Jean Comot, and Maria Cristina Denardi. It is discussion paper 18047 at CPR.
We hope you enjoyed this Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. If you did, remember to subscribe. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. Next week on Vox Talks, what German number plates tell us about local bias in investing.